Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Oh, it's the Luke and Pete Show. Welcome to it. Cut yourself off a slice, take a pew, drink the blood of human kindness. The Luke and Pete Show blood of human kindness. Is it blood?
It's
a
question.
It's a lovely sentence. Is it blood, isn't it? Is there ever a good way to say is there blood? There's never a good way to say is there blood, is there?
Not from you, I think. If people see you saying that, I feel like it feels a lot more sinister. If it was me saying it, I'd like to think people would just think I'm just concerned.
I'm thinking the best way between two of us saying is this blood would be you pointing at a bit of black pudding and going, is this blood? Yes, it is. It's a food, and it'd be fine.
How do you feel about black pudding?
I think it's delicious. I think it's one of the best things in the world. I had some black pudding last year in a
breakfast.
I had some black pudding last year in a restaurant that I genuinely think was transcendental. I've never tasted blood sausage like it, and it was just the best thing ever. And
name check the restaurant, mate. Give them their props.
I can't remember. It was in Mayfair somewhere. I was doing an Abroad Japan.
Oh, who do you think you are, Donaldson?
I was doing an Abroad Japan show.
It's a cost of living crisis, and people you're talking
cinema,
about
and
quaffing and slurping huge amounts of absolutely decadent blood sausage in Mayfair. You're the problem. You're the reason this all happened.
Best thing I've ever been. Do you know that that blood sausage slash your black pudding? Because the French eat it quite raw, don't they? Because they're really kinky guys. But blood sausage is cooked. Black pudding is cooked.
Yeah.
So you can just chomp it from the fridge. But it's just a bad luck, I think.
People... I don't think you want to be doing that.
Why? It's cooked.
Because as we have this conversation all the time, and I have to keep saying this to you, there's loads of things you technically can do. It doesn't mean you have to do them.
Yeah, chicken sashimi in Japan is pretty extreme. Yeah, I mean, even I would be like, you know what, that's a holiday ruiner. That is a chicken sashimi
One of our listeners got in touch saying they're in China. And they had chicken sashimi, right? And that's a great example because, yes, you can do that, but no one can honestly tell me that raw chicken tastes better, however well it's prepared, than cooked chicken.
I don't know. I think it would be just too slimy.
There's a freshness to I get sushi and sashimi and stuff like that. There's a freshness to it.
Yeah.
It's a different ingredient. It should be treated differently. But the idea of no one thinks chicken should be eaten raw. No one thinks that.
No.
And that's before you get into the salmonella conversation.
Speaking of raw meat, those horses that were running through the street last week.
Yeah.
That were startled by some builders. I saw a little post on X, good stuff on X.
Yeah, there's some great stuff on there.
There's where a woman was saying, God, Londoners are so stupid or thick or, they're very city-dwelling people. It would have been very easy to just grab one of their bridles, grab one of the ropes.
Are you insane?
And I'm like, I've been thinking about this. I was walking down the street today and I was like, I fancy my chances.
Don't approach. I don't think you should be approaching a horse.
I fancy my chances of just grabbing those reins and using my voiceover voice to calm down the beast. I reckon I could have had a go at the one that was bleeding profusely from the neck.
Goodness me! Look at how much you're bleeding.
Goodness, please stop. Let's have a pret a manger.
So do you remember that? I'll get you some eggs and spinach in a pot.
Presumably
they want the overnight oats.
No, would you like the mango with a little bit of lime in it? Yes, you would. Hot shot? Yes. I just remembered I've got a hot shot in my bag I didn't drink. Yes! Come on!
A hot chocolate?
A hot shot.
Oh, a hot shot. Nice. That is
ginger
nice.
And chili and blah.
I think it's a nice little leveller, isn't it? A nice little levelling test to approach and calm down a horse. I remember, do you remember that Bear Grylls series? A friend of mine is obsessed with Bear Grylls, is always doing impressions of him. Just thinks he's a fascinating character, which he is, I can't, I guess. Mm. But do you remember that series he did where he was really big? I think it was on Channel 4. Yeah. And then it got outed that he was like sleeping in hotels and stuff. And people just didn't really understand how TV was made. So they were like fuming.
They were like, I can't believe. You realise that the crew, Bear Grylls is going through this thing, but the crew have to stay somewhere. And why put them through this?
He's also talking very much about a survival at all costs situation. I'm not sure he's going to be best placed to make a compelling TV programme after 2 weeks of eating fucking camel dung and drinking fetid water from a fucking pond.
It's all about the hydration. Yeah. Got to stay hydrated.
Bear. It's actually quite it's quite easy to do an impression of. Bear. I'm in the wilderness and I'm bear.
I'm by a babbling brook. One false move and I could be carried metres down this brook.
He wouldn't say brook twice. Anyway.
Okay.
That series...
That's why I'm not Bear Grylls.
No, exactly. In that series, I'd love to see him take you under his wing and you could be Cub Grylls.
Bear, help. I'm drowning again. We're not even near any water. I fell in a puddle, Bear.
We're at the Watford Cap Services.
I got lost in the mobile phone cover shop.
Bear,
I've lost all my money again in the gamblies.
I've burnt myself on this Costa coffee.
On this toasty.
Anyway, so he's doing this series and he got outed that he was doing, I don't know what, it was probably something and nothing, but anyway.
Yeah.
One of the episodes, and it was really good, one of the episodes was that they dropped him in the middle of nowhere, obviously.
Yeah.
And he said, right, this is the situation I'm in. I'm too far away to get anywhere on foot.
Yeah.
But there are wild horses in the area. Right. I need to tame one and ride it to safety.
Do you get the feeling that these things are planted for him?
He's just making it up. That's not even a thing. He's just making those things up.
No, yeah, okay, fine. Right.
But my point was, assuming the TV program was legit, and it might not have been, he did it. And he was doing it almost exactly the same way that you have to do it as Link in Zelda's Ocarina of Time. or it might even be Breath of the Wild. Creeping up on the horse, petting it, whispering in its ear, double tapping Y to calm it
down. Is that what you do? I've not got to the point in Breath of the Wild where you actually tame a horse. Yeah. I didn't realize
and you jump
was...
on the horse and you can tame it. And after a while of riding it, it starts to become more... agreeable, and Body then eventually shit. You can name it and put it in a stable.
Oh, yes. I
so Bear didn't
now,
do
yes.
that bit.
Bear didn't
but he
do
did,
that bit.
He
did
ride
he
did
it. Tame a wild horse.
But here's the conundrum he was facing from what I remember. You can't startle the horse, right?
No.
If you approach the horse head on...
Don't shake a baby, don't startle a horse.
Exactly. It's going to see you and it's going to bolt.
Right.
And it's the only animal, as we well know, that bolts a horse.
Is it really?
Yeah. No one ever says bolt about anything else.
Oh, giraffe. Giraffe would bolt, wouldn't it?
The giraffe bolted.
Sneaked up behind.
Anyway, but obviously it's a difficult, delicate situation because as anyone who's ever been in a field knows, you can't really approach a horse from behind because it might kick your head off.
Mm.
Yeah. So you have to be very, very careful. I think he did it sort of sideways. From behind but on the side.
Like over the shoulder.
And he had like developed this kind of, he'd kind of whittled this... this kind of harness thing out of twine. And he put it over the horse's head and over his neck.
Right.
And they rode it. He rode it for a bit.
He rode it for a bit, yeah.
You can imagine him in post-production though going, right, okay, yeah, and then just cut just before it throws me off. And it will look like I've been riding it forever. Bear.
Wow.
And that's why now these days he's known as Horse Grylls.
Horse Grylls, yeah.
Which sounds like a restaurant.
He should be moving up to taming a bear then, surely. Get whisper sweet nothings into its ear. Tell it all about the honey that he's got back at his ranch.
He's given up on all this stuff now, though, and he just doesn't do that stuff anymore.
What does he get up to then?
In his dotage, he's now isn't he now like chief scout?
No, you're thinking of the other one. You're thinking of Ray Mears.
Nah, Bear Grylls is Chief Scout.
I thought Ray Mears was Chief Scout. He's more of a scouty man, isn't he? He's always wearing shorts with his ruddy cheeks. He feels more like a scout than Bear Grylls.
Apparently, since 1972, there's only been 6 Chief Scouts of the United Kingdom and overseas territories, and none of them are Ray Mears. And Bear Grylls has been doing it since 2009.
Oh, interesting. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I know who to complain for my molesting that time.
It's legitimate.
That was underneath. That was underneath the. Do not belittle my pen. That was under the under Baden Powell's scouts. The vicar came in and touched my body. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Do you want to go into that, or do you just want to leave
that
there?
I've told that story so many times on the show. Vicar came in to the Cubs and made me sit on his knee, and he pointed out where the lungs were. But he insisted on taking my top off and touching my body, which is he didn't go south of the equator. Fine, but he just didn't. He did not need to be caressing my nip nips.
If you felt uncomfortable, then it was absolutely unacceptable.
I didn't feel uncomfortable then. I don't feel comfortable now, really.
How do you rank it alongside the Barrymore incident?
Well, Barrymore, you should do a simple business proposition. Come to my house, I'll get
more
you
honest.
A sex worker, and I'll get
more
you the best brass in Essex, he said.
Yeah. I don't think you should be. I mean, it's a different
That's why
time,
I moved here. I'm trying to find what that means.
Trying to find Barrymore's house.
Yeah.
Endless
Barrymore,
quick.
You promised me... sex.
Is it like the mysterious cities of gold, but it's Barrymore's house? You're flying this giant golden condor with Barrymore's face on the dashboard.
Yeah.
Oh dear. This is one of those things, isn't it? You gotta laugh, mate, or you'll cry.
Yeah.
You know.
Good point.
I would love to see you do a show with Bear. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good. I think it's annoying to me that Bear's given up on doing the TV shows now. Because I can't imagine he's not someone who wouldn't get commissioned for a TV show. He definitely would.
No, he could. Yeah, maybe he's just given up. He doesn't like it anymore. He spent too many nights underneath the stars, and he's just had enough. I would say that we spoke about this before, where in a zombie apocalypse, I would be dead within days because of my asthma issues. He would have to secure an asthma pump or some kind of nettles that would alleviate my chest allergies. So
would you really be like? Very badly. Would you be in real bad trouble if that is this?
I think
situation?
I mean, I've never let it get that bad, but I imagine I would have to have a much more sedentary. Is that a word? Sedentary. Am I saying
sedentary,
that right?
Yeah.
Sedentary.
Yeah.
Lifestyle, I think, because after I can probably go about 4 days without my preventatives before it starts getting really quite difficult to breathe. Yeah, it's not ideal.
So we're leaving you behind then?
Pretty much, yeah. I'd be consumed by a wild horse for days in, I think. I used to do voiceovers for Naked and Afraid XL.
What's the XL part of that?
I don't know. But I presume it's a show. I've never watched it, but I think you start Billy Bollocks, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you've got to build shelters and survive and stuff. I mean, I will say, I guess it's probably all done with AI now, but back in the day, if you were a good mosaic artist on these shows, you could work anywhere, couldn't you? You could mosaic for anyone. Send us the rushes. I'll blur out the balls and Fanny. So, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good job if you were specifically doing that.
Mm. Or Japanese pornography, obviously, as well.
Famously. Yeah, I was watching, there was on, right, so yesterday, I was recording an episode of Ramble Reacts late, right? Yeah. And I was waiting for, as I've said to you earlier, there's a couple of technical things. I had to wait around for it to start. So I was sitting there, I turned the telly on, and the telly was on 5-star, which is a channel I've quite literally never watched before.
Because I wonder what the budget is for 5-star, because it's 5, Channel 5's digital-only service.
Channel 5, right, and get this.
But worse,
right, which is a remarkable proposition.
Do Channel 5 still do that show where everyone dances and sings?
I can
remember
honestly
that one?
Tell you, I've said this to you before, and this is going to make me sound like the world's worst snob, but I mean, it's just the truth, so judge me as you see fit, everyone. But if ITV and their associated sub-programmes and channels and Channel 5 was removed from ITV,
wouldn't
it? The first time I would notice would be when there's an England game and I can't watch it. So it could be months. Like, yeah. I never, ever, ever watch those channels. So
it's always right. It's always, remember they did that, Channel 5 did that documentary about that that deep sea submersible that imploded.
So I am the key demographic for documentaries. You know how tediously boring I am about stuff. If it's Channel 5, I simply won't watch it.
Yeah, but they were doing the documentary while they were still under the... Well, while they were still assumed to be still alive, which is an incredible turnaround.
The journalistic standards aren't good enough. Like, it's nowhere near good enough.
It's just YouTube. It's just YouTube editing, isn't it? Really,
that's basically. And if you're watching a documentary about a subject you don't know much about, and you can flick open the Wikipedia while you're watching and go, "Well, that's not true," then it's pointless. But anyway, so I flick five. This, I think, what happened was my son had been playing with the remote, which he's always grabbing the remote.
Kids love remotes.
They did. They do. So I turned the telly on. And it was on that channel. I was like, okay, fine. And it was on an ad break. Right. And I pressed the info, and it was like, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was something like, say again?
Retro Diaries.
No, it was. Well, you say that.
That was the launch product. It was Tim Vine, I think, doing the launch, and or maybe Paul Tonkinson, I think.
Blokes who will respectfully absolutely everything.
And
they'll do anything.
And the Spice Girls, I think, were involved, weren't they? Because there was five of them. There's a five.
Yeah, that's
Spice
right.
Girls?
The launch. Yeah,
yeah. I think the launch.
So Paul Tonkinson did the launch of Channel 5.
I think he was like, it was Paul Tonkinson and Tim Vine. I think both did like inserts for the launch of the station. I think that's the case. I used to work with Tonkinson a little bit.
Yeah, he's a really, really lovely guy. I worked with him before as well. But he would do anything. Anyway, so let me get to the point of this story.
So would I.
What's on is a documentary about British people trying to make it in the porn industry, right?
Right.
So
okay.
Following like a couple of guys and a couple of girls trying to make it in the porn industry.
With those voices, though.
I know.
Hello.
But the thing is, Pete, I couldn't believe how much explicit stuff they were showing on this TV show.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I thought, and I might be wrong here, and you might know more about this than me.
Point where on the model...
Yeah, all that.
All that? You didn't see that. Come on.
All
Let's
that?
Stop being silly. You didn't see all that.
I'm telling you I did.
Let's stop being silly. Come on.
I didn't think you were allowed under Ofcom rules to show an erect penis on the telly.
I think those... surely Ofcom must be like, come on. Like,
they just wrapped their hand in because of GB News. They can't be arsed anymore. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, can't be arsed. You'd think that... I thought that was a... I remember back in the day there was this... They'd done like a heat sensitive camera as a penis goes.
Right. That must have been nice.
And it's like a red, like bright, like where the blood is and where the hottest part is bright red. So I remember seeing that on the television.
Yeah, but that must have been nice. No one cares about heat cameras now.
But that was very much, I thought it was Predator. I thought I switched over to Predator. It was, that's all I remember sort of. Was there like a season of quite graphic films though? Because there was a bit of a trend for quite sexually explicit cinema. What was the one that Willem Dafoe was in?
Oh,
Antichrist. Yeah. Did that ever have a television network?
Lars von Trier, isn't it?
That was I think
it's actually a really interesting conversational topic because as far as I'm aware, they tend to make rulings about what you can and can't do based on the expectations of the audience. So. It's actually quite a snobby thing to do. It's actually very old-fashioned. What they'll say is, if we're going to have this explicit scene shown or this language shown, whatever it may be, and it's on BBC Two at 11:30 p.m., the expectation is the audience are educated enough to process it and not going to be offended by it, and there's not going to be children watching it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you whack it on ITV at 8, there's going to be kids awake. They're basically saying people who watch ITV are much more likely to be offended because they're simple.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's still the rules, but that's what they used to be like.
Radio 4 had a blanket. You could say whatever you like on
exactly.
Radio 4 if you could justify it. But every other station wasn't.
But the off. So I was surprised at seeing that. And then what I would say is that. So I've got a friend who works, quite a senior, experienced producer in boxing, both TV and radio. And I always asked him about the idea that, you know, I think I said this to you before, that like you can watch two people banging the shit out of each other, blood everywhere, broken noses. I mean, it's the only place you can legally kill someone, right? And it could be televised. That literally could happen, right?
Yeah.
yeah, if one of the corner men or one of the seconds swears in between rounds, they have to apologise, right? And he said to me, it's like, if we don't apologise for that, Ofcom are all over us like a fucking rash.
Yeah.
Like they will warn us, they'll caution us, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that fascinating, chiefly because of the juxtaposition that I've just described there, but also because I have literally seen on GB News one Tory MP being interviewed by another Tory MP on a channel that's called News, talking about a load of weird conspiratorial right-wing talking points, and nothing is done.
No, yeah. And I'm always surprised about the hierarchy of swearing. The C word.
C1 used to be a big no-no.
It was a big no-no, but it's not top of the tree. Motherfucker is top of the tree.
Is that surprising?
Yeah, mad, isn't it? You'd think that the C word would be harsher on the ears than motherfucker.
Yeah, anyway, to take this all the way back to the start, I just wanted to make it clear that during the show Man vs. Wild, which Bear Grylls hosted and all that stuff, which was good, I think apparently it stopped in a number of years ago now, but yeah. I'm just going to give you a quick list of the things. For those of you who didn't watch Bear Grylls Man vs. Wild or didn't have access to it, this is an example.
Did he take Danny Trejo out into the jungle and he got terribly burned, and he's like in his 70s.
Yeah, he's also had a tough life, Danny Trejo. He was not in Mexico. He spent like a lot of his early years in Mexican prisons, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's probably had worse. Anyway, Bear Grylls did the following things. He climbed cliffs, parachuted from helicopters, balloons and planes, paraglided, ice climbed and ran through a forest fire and waded through rapids. Fair enough, that seems pretty standard. Here's where it gets a bit weird. And I think half of this stuff he doesn't need to be doing. I don't even think half of this stuff is actually legit, right? And you can judge it yourself. Eating snakes. Okay, fair enough. Some people eat snakes, right? This is where it gets weird, right? I think this is fetishistic, this stuff, right? Yeah. Wrapping a urine-soaked T-shirt around his head.
Right, yeah.
Drinking urine from a rattlesnake skin. That's kinky.
Yeah, it just seems like... You've got a hose that you could squirt in your own mouth, mate. Like, you don't need to be pissing about with cups. What is this?
Yeah.
What is this? An ambassador's reception, Bear?
Drinking fecal liquid from elephant dung. Eating deer droppings. Why are you doing that?
Why are you doing that, mate? Yeah. Why are you doing that?
Field dressing a camel carcass and drinking water from it and using the corpse of a sheep as a sleeping bag.
Yeah. I think in the cold, harsh light of day, if you took away all of the muddy need jungle exploration. It just sounds like he wants to fuck about with animals.
Yeah, what I think.
He just seems to be a bit kinky about the old animals.
And the final scene of the final episode was basically just him sleeping in his corpse sheep sleeping bag with a piss-stained T-shirt around his head, just absolutely destroying 48 Ferrero Rochers.
Reading a copy of Razzle.
The ambassador has treated me very well in this wilderness.
What's in that?
Ferrero Rocher.
Unwrap that Ferrero Rocher right now, and if I find a testicle in there, I'm going to be fuming. Why have you made a big pyramid out of bull's testicles, you
like pervert? That girl who always pranks her dad by wrapping Brussels sprouts in chocolate and putting the Ferrero Rocher wrapper around it and waiting for the explosion. He's, just so you know, just to wrap up on Bear before we go to a break, his full name, do you know his full name?
I smell a joke coming.
His full name is Barrero Roche. Let's go to a break because my cat's coming and he won't stop meowing.
Meow.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Meow, do you like them ads? It's Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore on the Luke and Pete Show. Now, every single Thursday, we do battery brands. If you found an interesting battery in your remote control or whatever you've got, chuck it our way. We want to hear from you. I found a very boring battery in my Toyota Century's remote control. What, does your car not have a remote control?
I was astonished when I saw that.
Why does it need a remote control? Because it was made in the year 2000 and it used to have a VHS player in the back.
What do all the buttons do? Don't know, it's in Japanese.
Don't know, it's just very confusing. It's very confusing. I'm trying to get it up and running. Excuse me. People have been in touch. People have found batteries in their consumer electronica, and they've chucked at my mine and yours ways on the Luke and Pete Show. There's been some beautiful photographs taken of these batteries this week. I have to celebrate and congratulate Unky Ben for getting in touch. Just kicking off my annual trip to Japan, visiting the in-laws. As usual, I'm trying to lend a hand around my father-in-law's place while we stay with him. Last night, they went to turn on the air conditioner in our room, but the remote control wouldn't work. Dead batteries, no big deal. So Japan's a real kind of hotbed for interesting batteries, I think it's fair to say. There's a lot of disposable electronics, there's a lot of remote controls out there.
Yeah,
and there just seems to be a lot, and obviously their proximity to China is really helpful as well for interesting brands. Unky Ben got some replacement batteries, popped over to the nearby convenience store, the Konbini, and grabbed some replacements. When I popped open the remote to make the swap, I found this AAA beauty inside, a Herb Relax.
This might be the best battery we've seen.
Well, it's like Herb. Like, if you've got a battery that says Herb Relax and the font is green and it's got a leaf motif on it, you do sort of go, that sounds like the leaf might be a marijuana. But it's not. It's like a kind of what kind of leaf would you call that? It's almost like a clover.
It's a clover, isn't it?
Is it a clover? Herb
it's got
Relax.
Three leaf
Does that
clover.
Make you relax because you're lucky? I don't know.
I don't think it's wacky backy.
Yeah, well, with all the weird legalization happening in the States, says Unky Ben, you'd think these came from there. But no, here they are in Japan. I'd heard that using a mirror in the picture was helpful, so I borrowed the wife of access to his hand mirror to take the photo. Hopefully she doesn't mind. I'm sure she won't, Unky Ben. Love the show. Herb Relax. Feels like a new player.
It's a brand new player. Of course it is.
Lovely.
What a sensational battery to witness. Herb, yes. Relax. Do you reckon they've got to the point now, some of them, where they're just getting random English words and sticking them on?
It certainly is a real vogue for that sort of Japanglish kind of vibe. There's just a lot of fun T-shirts out there that just have absolutely nonsensical statements on them.
Yeah.
This is always fun. Always fun. Congratulations, Unky Ben, and thank you for the fantastic photography of said battery. Patrick from Belfast has got in touch. Evening, Luke and Pete, a long-time listener, second-time emailer, I think. I'm a big fan of the stat catalogue, and I've been following Pete's journey with the Toyota Century with interest. I might, maybe, have encouraged him a little bit, but only because I was living vicariously through him, because having recently bought a grown-up car, there was absolutely no way I was going to get away with buying a Toyota Century. Imagine my glee at even getting a name check on the Brunch of My podcast after sending Pete an advertisement for a former Japanese driving school car. I remember that car. There's a place in Middlesbrough that imports like mad Japanese cars, and one of them was like a proper driving school with the logo on the side of it, old Japanese driving school car. But the only problem was it was mad. But it's a lovely bit of work. Thank you very much for letting me know about that, Patrick. I am a Luke and Pete Show listener, and on a more recent Luke and Pete Show related matter, my four-year-old recently came running at the kitchen, needing a torch urgently to look for some lost Barbie shoes. Cue the dad cupboard of tat, two small LED torches, and six AAA batteries later, and I stumbled upon these odd little numbers. I present for your deliberation HJ Cell AAA batteries by the Ninghai Hengzhou Battery Company. So I guess it's just HJSL AAA, isn't it, I suppose?
Brilliantly named, though. Like a really kind of regal name for a set of AAAs.
I guess it's Hengju. Hengju is probably the HJSL. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fourth person to send those in, though.
Oh, what a shame, Patrick.
I'm afraid. We've had a load of those already.
Trying to make me buy a car as well. Good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 20th of October 2022, they were first sent in. So you're a bit slow on the uptake there, Patrick, I'm afraid. But thank you for getting in touch anyway.
Yeah. The company seems to also do quite a lot of motorcycle chains, the Hengju Corporation. They're on LinkedIn. I might add them as a friend. What a business. Very specific chain.
Yeah.
It's some kind of torch. Joel, battery submission and flight simulation answers. Ahoy, gents. Long time listener, first time emailer. The pod is the official soundtrack to many and most of my car rides in our household.
Nice.
The missus reminded me that I had an ancient unsent battery photos. Here we go. Warriors. It came with a cheap kitchen scale, which has been a happy hunting ground for many a battery daddy botherer. Warriors, all in a rather almost like Times, like a stretched Times New Roman font.
I would say an apologetic lowercase font.
All in lowercase as well. Atrocious graphic design. And we've been guilty of that on more than one occasions ourselves. But this is the low point. It looks like, Chris the Simpsons artist does his writing.
Yeah.
Shall we get to that first and then we'll pile
it?
Yeah.
These are not new players. They've been sitting many, many times before, but it is nice to see them. A personal favourite of mine, lovely gold colour, very apologetic font, which I think people just, what are we going to call it? I'll just fucking call it anything.
Yeah.
And but not a new player. They've been sent in, like I say, many, many times, dating all the way back to, I think, 2019.
Yeah. Oh, wild. Okay. Well, thank you, Joel, from Fairfax, Virginia in the US of A. A few weeks ago, says Joel, to follow it up, Luke was wondering what a flight simulation folks do when they are doing a long flight. As Pete suggested, many do, in fact, speed it up or use a feature to skip to arrival and approach for the landing and takeoff. But for those flying on a virtual ATC platform, there are rules that allow for temporary disconnection, so you don't have to stay on the whole time. But there are actually dedicated cross-the-pond events where people actually do it in real time. Some people do really love it that much. So that's an answer, really. I mean, would you, if you were doing like a solid like 9-hour flight to...
I just don't see what you're getting out of it.
London to Atlanta, and you're sort of saying, right... I need to. Do you prepare a little packed lunch to eat while you're flying? Or
can you? So let me ask another question. So if I'm doing it, and is there a chance that say I'm doing London to Atlanta, which I think is probably about 9 hours, right? Is there a chance that say 4 hours in I get an alert saying, oh, unexpected weather, I need to divert, and then I have to divert or do something, and something can actually happen?
Yeah, I would say that. Presumably, all of the weather's being worked out in hand, but I know what you mean. I was sort of thinking, would there be a situation where something goes wrong? You lose your lights. You lose an engine. Like, is there anything that pitchery tubes? Pitchery tubes, the ones that sometimes freeze.
The ones on the outside that monitor stuff. Yeah, that's had a big problem in the past, hasn't it? I can't remember what it's called, but there's something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Is there a situation where that it suddenly goes wrong and you have to kind of manage?
Well, they must
that.
Have built some randomness into the program. You've
got
the same
pull a fuse. Well, I imagine that's kind of, it's a little bit like remember Sim City. You could have these kind of tornadoes or earthquakes and stuff, but you could turn them off. Like, you didn't need to have Godzilla arriving and kicking off.
Force majeure, or whatever it is.
Force majeures, yeah.
We used to have to do. Yeah. I used to do force majeure chat all the time because when I had a job, one of my many jobs, working in customer service for like a yacht charter company.
Right. Oh.
And so people would like pay loads of money for these holidays where they would fly to like Antigua, hire a yacht, and they'd sail the yacht for a while. And sometimes the yacht would be captain. Sometimes they'd be sailors themselves, so they wouldn't have to. And then like they'd fly to like the Caribbean, and then there'd be a fucking hurricane.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, well, our money back. And we'd be like, well, you can't have your money back.
Force majeure.
Force majeure, yeah.
Bonjour.
None of us can predict the weather.
What does majeure mean? A major force?
Yeah, I don't know, really. Yeah. I guess so. Act of God. Act of God, maybe.
Major force. Yeah. Oh, well. All right,
then. Major force. It sounds like almost like a very, like, camp but very stern army figure in some kind of carry-on film.
Oh, 90s wrestler. All ends
or
up
real 90s wrestler. Yeah. I was actually, by the way, because of you yesterday, I went on a massive deep dive on Sergeant Slaughter. Speaking of that.
Interesting chap. Stolen Valor, never really served. Full of shit.
Yeah, also, like, some of the stuff that, like, the WWF got him to do, like, back in the day, is genuinely very problematic.
Around the Gulf War, I think he turned heel and joined with Saddam at one point, I think.
And also, his real name is Robert Rudolph Remus, which is fucking amazing.
Rudolph Remus. Yeah. I mean, that's a strong name anyway, isn't it, I suppose?
But yeah, he did like, a whole year as an Iraqi sympathiser. Yes. To the point where apparently he said that he didn't feel like he could leave the house without a bulletproof vest on.
Is he a big bullshitter? Well, to be fair, like, that was a, let's just say, a hot angle. Because obviously, like, America hadn't been in such a, since Vietnam, really, like, yeah, such a big kind of, like, you know, boots on the ground operation. Mm. And that was a.
But the thing that really stuck in the mind for me was apparently, like, the real tipping point.
The Iron Sheik was involved as well.
Yeah, he was, always. But the real tipping point apparently was that, like, he had a massive bust up with Vince McMahon. Because Vince McMahon told him that at WrestleMania to burn the American flag, and he was like, "I'm not fucking doing that. There's no way I'm doing that." Like, so they compromised on him burning Hulk Hogan's shirt instead.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? I think, I think there was a big situation with him, and obviously he was in those G.I. Joe cartoons as well, I think, as Sergeant Slaughter, and he made a shit ton of money out of that. But the thing about him is, like, he still has the little moustache and he sort of dyes it black and stuff. He looks exactly the same as he ever did. He's still massive. He must be in his 70s now. Huge guy. Huge.
Yeah, apparently he's 75 now.
What a chin. We saw him a few weeks ago at in Philadelphia. So nice. There we go.
All right,
so
Pete, take us out of here.
All right, then. We've been fucking great. You are lucky. this has been the Luke and Pete Show. Sorry about all of that. We'll be back next week. We hope to find more batteries in bits of electronics, and we hope that there's, you know, we saw some absolutely terrible graphic design from Warriors. Yeah. I just want to see another battery band that has such absolutely middling graphic design.
I want to hear from people who worked on Bear Grylls' show.
Yeah, I want to see whether it was all on the level or not.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that noise in the background. That's my cat.
It sounds like your bum gone.
He wants food. All right. That's his food sound.
Cat some food. Get your cat to give you some food.
Yeah, we'll do. See you later on. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier and 7 nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.